Turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 12. We generally leave time to have two or three different prayers and in the course of the evening, reading a newsletter from one of our mission points and going over the prayer list. I don't know how things will go this evening. We'll just see and leave it into the hands of the Lord. But last week we had begun to deal with the point, the word of the Lord vindicated, or the word of the Lord proved to be true. The false prophets and false prophetesses in the land of Israel, Judah, had falsely prophesied, making like they were a prophet of the Lord and sent from the Lord. And it should have been an indication to the people that they were false prophets, because it was in direct contradiction to the true prophet of the Lord and what the Lord had told him to prophesy. But the people, because of their lack of spiritual condition, their idolatry and not worshiping the true God, chose to take the word, found it more convenient to take the word of the false prophets. And such are people of our day and time. And we'll have more to say on that as we go through the message. And as we get into the 13th chapter, where he lays charge against the prophets and prophetesses and pronounces the judgment upon the prophets and prophetesses that are false. But regardless of their false prophesying and the proverb that had developed in the land because of their false prophesying, we began to find last week that the word of the Lord continued on. The word of the Lord continued on, and he said it would be proven to be true. It was going to come to pass, and he wasn't going to wait any longer. It was coming to pass imminently. Which on that point, you understand that the return of the Lord is imminent.
Amen.
Has been since his first coming.
Yes.
His second coming has been imminent at any moment. And the true believers, the early church, the apostles, including the 13th apostle, the apostle Paul, believed it to be imminent. In fact, he said in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, "Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly." And I suppose that statement alone gives the soothsayers, the mockers, and the scoffers room to scoff and room to mock. As we've read in 2 Peter in chapter 3. Well, yeah, they've been saying that for over 2,000 years. Mark the word of the Lord. He is coming.
Amen.
And his coming will be far too soon for those who are not looking for it, are not expecting it. Far too soon for those scoffers. So last week we dwelt on a sub-point, the word of the Lord speaks again and again and again. And he did. He continued to speak by the mouth of Jeremiah. And now he continues to speak by the mouth of Ezekiel. Tonight we want to begin to deal with another sub-point. But before we get much into it, I'd like for us to turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, as we consider this thought of the word of the Lord proved to be true, and the fact that God speaks again and again and again to the unbelieving. And he speaks again and again and again to you and I. In the book of Daniel in chapter 9, I'm going to read verse 1 to begin with. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So Daniel is an elder statesman now. He's an elder gentleman. He's an older gentleman. You see, in the first chapter of the book of Daniel, he starts out as a young fellow. They estimate him to be somewhere in the vicinity of 16 to 18 years of age. Just a young lad. But a young lad who was committed to the Lord. And that was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So now Nebuchadnezzar has passed, gone. And his son. And now we have Darius, which seems to have been of the Medes and the Persians. You see, I think scholars, commentators, estimate Daniel to be probably 80 years of age now. Something like that. But that's a moot point. But look at verse 2. I just said all that to give you this setting, read that first verse to give you the setting of where we're at. Nebuchadnezzar is long gone. Long ago. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, that is Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet. What the scoffers in Ezekiel's day and in Jeremiah's day had scoffed at the word of the Lord by Jeremiah. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And there's a message in that one verse, but we're not gonna stop there tonight, and that's because that's not our message. But just note that he set his face unto the Lord God. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by the departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, who the Lord sent many times, and many times he sent them early on, which spake in thy name to our kings. Not just Jeremiah, not just Isaiah, not just Ezekiel, but the prophets. Many of the prophets before them. Our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. They spoke to them all. They spoke to the kings, to the princes, to their fathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off. Through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. You see, he said, we have sinned, and then he says, this is because of the trespass. They're in these countries. They're not in Judea and Jerusalem and in Israel because of their trespass. Yes. Which they have trespassed against the Lord. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against thee. Him. What has the Lord been telling Ezekiel? He was telling Ezekiel that these things are going to come upon them. He is to portray certain things, and they were going to come upon them because they had sinned, because they had trespassed against him. The very thing Daniel's saying here. At the time when? Many years after Nebuchadnezzar's gone. But Ezekiel's in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. You understand? The word at the mouth of Jeremiah was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Notice verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words. He has made them to stand. He has made them to rise up, which he spake against us. He's caused those words to come up against us. And against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Daniel here is speaking of what has already taken place many years ago. It's getting near to the end of the 70 years of Jeremiah's prophecy. He mentioned that. And this is what caused him, I think, to seek the face of the Lord. The word of the Lord had come to him, and now he's seeking the face of the Lord, and they're nearing the end of the 70 years. But notice that he said, and hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing these things upon us, he said. The point is, and introduces this subpoint, he does not leave himself without witness. You see, even though Nebuchadnezzar and the people of that time, many of them, are dead and gone, the young lads are now old men like Daniel. But the word of the Lord is continuing on by the mouth of Daniel. You get that? The words that he spoke to Isaiah, the word that he spoke to Jeremiah, the word that he spoke to Ezekiel. And Daniel is saying, it happened upon us. Your words were confirmed. He'll not. He will not leave himself without faithful witnesses.
Amen.
Faithful witnesses that will speak his word even to the most skeptical and rebellious.
Amen.
What was it we looked at last week and saw that in the second chapter of the book of Ezekiel? Even though they be briars and brambles and scorpions, yeah. Ezekiel dwelt amongst the briars. He dwelt amongst the scorpions. Their faces were set against him, and he was told not to be afraid of their faces. God doesn't leave himself without a faithful witness.
Amen.
To speak his word. As we consider the thought of faithful witness, turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 19. Creation is his faithful witness, is it not? Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the heavens witness they declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice is heard the world over. The world over can see the heavens. They can see the handiwork of God.
Amen.
They see it. They choose not to see God in it.
Right.
But they see it.
Yeah.
And he says, they declare his glory. In another passage, I think in Psalms 96, says, the heavens declare his righteousness. Now, as we said, all the nations of the world, the heavens declare it to all the nations of the world. There's no speech or language that do not hear it. No nation that does not hear it. They choose not to hear God in it. Because that would mean that if there is Creator God, that would mean there's one with whom they have to do.
Amen.
One with whom they have to answer to. Turn with me to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in chapter 14, the Apostle Paul spoke of creation when witnessing to those idolaters. You recall Paul healed this cripple at Lystra. And they were steeped in idolatry. They worshiped the heavens. And when he healed that cripple, they called Paul one Mercurius or something, and Barnabas they called Jupiter. Well, notice in verse 15, they address them, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities, these falsehoods, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." You see, they point them to creation, the very thing they were worshiping, and they said you ought to be looking to and worshiping the living God, which made all these things, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, because they had the witness of God, and they chose not to see it. They chose not to worship God, the Creator, but chose to worship the creation instead. So he suffered them, allowed them to walk in their own ways. Isn't that what he's doing with people today? I mean, they've rebelled against him and rebelled against him, refused to walk in his ways, and he's just permitting them to walk in their own way.
Amen.
Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. Okay, they refused to see it. The creation, he's going to continue to create. He left himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven. Mm-hmm. Do you count rain as a blessing from heaven, a blessing from God?
Yes, amen.
And fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness. Because their bellies were filled with food, their hearts were happy and joyous. And he's telling those people, God sent you the rain so that you'd have that bounty to fill your bellies, and you're not worshiping him. But God was good. Nevertheless, in your idolatry and walking your own ways, God still was good to you. Can't we say that today? We sure can. God continues to send the rain, continue to get harvest, continue to fill our bellies, and many of us are overweight. Just a more sign of the bounty. That's a witness. Creation, everything about creation is a witness. His witness. He sent his prophets. Turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 29. If you know anything about the 23rd chapter, you know that he's reproving the hypocrites. In verse 29, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets." See that? He sent prophets. What did Israel do to the prophets? Killed them. Killed them. Built their tombs. And he says to those scribes and Pharisees, "You built the tombs of the prophets. And you pretend to be all religious and pious." I imagine those were pretty good Pharisees in Ezekiel and Jeremiah's day that were falsely prophesying. They were pretending to be the prophets of the Lord, have word from the Lord, and had killed the true prophets of God.
Yeah, amen.
Tried to have Jeremiah extinguished without success. Well, turn with me back to the book of Genesis. Moses was one of those prophets that the Lord sent. This prophecy that is recorded by Moses from the Holy Spirit of God worked upon Moses to record that which he knew. How did he know? Was Moses alive in those days? In the days of Adam and Eve? No. But it was handed down. You see, men lived long lives at the beginning, and this stuff was, I mean, Adam passed just before Noah was born. So you see how the history, the beginning of the creation got passed on. And they were faithful to pass things on in those days. From one family to the next family. They weren't like us and unfaithful to pass it on to our sons. They were faithful to pass it on to their sons. And their sons on to their sons. And just right on. But look at chapter 3 and verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To defeat what? Satan. The death blow has been established. His days are numbered. And they're getting shorter and shorter. And he knows it.
Amen.
The point is, this is a prophetic verse. Just after Adam and Eve had sinned. Prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there. And immediately, God begins to establish the line through which Jesus Christ is going to come.
Amen.
And he chose Seth and not Cain. And he chose Noah. And he chose Shem and not Japheth and Ham. And he chose Abraham and not his brethren. And he chose, Abraham, Isaac, and not Ishmael. He chose Jacob and not Esau. It gets better, folks. He chose Judah and not his 11 brethren.
Amen.
And he chose David, who is the great grandson of Boaz, who married Ruth, who begat David's grandfather. And he chose David. And Jesus Christ came, the seed of David.
Amen. Amen.
What a wonderful witness has been given through the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, John the Baptist. He chose John the Baptist to be a faithful witness and a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. In chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and look here at verse 2. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face." You see, the prophets prophesied of this day. They even prophesied of the forerunner. They were the faithful witnesses. And now the forerunner, who's going to be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptist in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We find John the Baptist coming on the scenes and preaching repentance and faith, and telling of the the one who's to come after him, who's mighty, was mightier than he, whose shoes latches he was not worthy to unloose.
Faithful witness. Then we have Jesus Christ coming, who's a faithful witness. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, quickly. You keep your finger in the New Testament. We'll be going right back there. In fact, we'll be going back to Mark chapter 1. But Isaiah, look at Isaiah 55. And look with me here at verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What's he talking about? Even the sure mercies of David. The everlasting covenant, even the sure mercies of David. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. Look at the next verse. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. The Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. The one we read about back there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Which the thread began to be built and to work. He began to choose the line through which it would come. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus came preaching repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in the gospel, which is the good news that God has sent a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and while Jesus is on earth preaching and proclaiming repentance and faith, he chooses the 12. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3. He chooses the 12. And look at verse 14 of this third chapter. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to what? To preach. Send them forth to witness. Send them forth to preach repentance and faith. The same message that John the Baptist came preaching. The same message that Jesus came preaching. And his apostles were to preach that same message. They were to witness. They were faithful witnesses of God. And then, lastly, Matthew 28. He has his church. Jesus left. Jesus left this earth, ascended up into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. But before he left, he gave his organized church a commission. And here's the commission in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, or you could say apostles. Whenever he mentions the 11 or the 12, you know it's the apostles. And it's only 11 at this point because Judas was no longer. He's gone.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because I have all authority, and I'm commissioning you to go. Ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That was a commission that he gave to his church before he left this earth and ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. And the church is to continue it on how long? They have that commission how long? Till the end of time. Till the end of this world. When he creates the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We are to be that faithful witness here on earth. Well, we'll stop there tonight.